NBRN.
Your Country Roots radio station.
You're listening to Real Country Legends with R.B. Renegade. Real Country Legends, where the past is never forgotten.
My guest today is known around the world as an entertainer, a recording artist, radio and television star, actor, auctioneer, and veteran of the Nevada circuit. He has recorded over 500 songs and probably holds the record for the most repeat performance bookings of any working name country music entertainer. He has worked 40 to 70 fairs and livestock events per year for over five decades, in addition to a great variety of other engagements. It's my distinct pleasure to welcome Leroy Van Dyke to Real Country Legends this morning. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be with you.
Yeah, you were you've been born in Missouri. I believe you still live in Missouri.
Yeah, I was gone for a time. I was born here, and then I was gone and went to the Army, went to college and to the Army, and I didn't get back to Missouri for 35 years.
Oh, goodness.
Four of those years were with the Ozark Jubilee with Red Foley, ABC Television Network show out of Springfield, Missouri. After it went off the air, then I went to Nashville and joined the Grand Ole Opry, and I was in Nashville for 27 years.
Oh, terrific.
Then, in the meantime, I'd lost both my parents, and the ranch where I grew up was for sale, and they'd already sold the estate. I'd already sold about 500 acres of it, so I said, wait a minute, don't sell any more of it. And we bought the remaining 1,000 acres and moved everything, our whole operation, office and everything, from Nashville to this ranch where I grew up in Missouri.
Wow. Now, when you were in Korea, you were catapulted into show business with your self-penned song, The Auctioneer. And that went to 1 million plus just weeks after its release. And that was around the time you joined the Ozark Jubilee. Is that right?
Well, that was quite a while before. I wrote that song while I was in Korea, about 1953. Came back and went to work for a newspaper, because that was my training in college, was animal science and journalism. And so I worked for a newspaper for 3 years. Then toward the end of those 3 years, I finally got that song on record, and it got out within 2 weeks. It was starting up the charts. And that happened before I went to the Ozark Jubilee, about 18 months before I went down there.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, we're going to give our folks a listen to that. We're going to give a spin to walk to the Auctioneer. This is Leroy Van Dyke and the Auctioneer.
All right, here we go there, and what are they going to give for them? I'm at $600 down here, now 10 and now 25 and now 35 and now 50 and now 60. We'll give me 60 and now 75. 75, another $85 on the bottom there. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, then pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand and listen carefully, then pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer could talk so rapidly. He said, oh my, it's do or die, I've got to learn that auction cry, gotta make my mark and be an auctioneer. $25 bid, and now $30, 30, will you give me 30, make it 30, bid, mama, $30, will you give me 30, who did bid a $30 bid? $30 bid, and now 35, will you give me 35, to make it 35, to bid a 35, who would have bid it at a $35 bid? As time went on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest, he practiced calling bids both night and day. His pap would find him behind the barn just working up an awful storm as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then his pap said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man selling things at auction using our good name. I'll send you off to auction school, then you'll be nobody's fool. You can take your place among the best. $35 bid, and I'll a $40, 40, will they give me 40, make it 40, bid, and I'm all a $40, don't we live 40, who'd bid a $40 bid? $40 bid, and now 45, will you give me 45 to make it a 45 to bid at a 45? Who would have bid it at a $45 bid? So from that boy who went to school, there grew a man who played it cool. He came back home a full-fledged auctioneer. Then the people came from miles around just to hear him make that rhythmic sound that filled their hearts with such a happy cheer. His fame spread out from shore to shore. He had all he could do and more. Had to buy a plane to get around. Now he's the tops in all the land. Let Paul give that man a hand. He's the best of all the auctioneers. $45 bid, and I'll a bidder, dollar 50. Will 50, make a 50, bid it on a $50 bill, give me 50, hooray, bid a $50 bill. $50 bid and now 55, will you give me 55, I'll make it a 55, I bet a 55, I sold that hog for the $50 bill. Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let him out and walk him, boys. Here we come, a lot number 29 in, what are they going to give for him? I'm a 25, I'll get 35, another 50, make a 50, bid it on a 59, 60, will you give me 69, 75, and 85, and 95, 100, and 25, and 50, 75, and 2, and 3, and 4, and 5, and 6, and 7, and 8, and
Now, you actually are a professional auctioneer. A lot of folks probably don't know that.
Yeah. A lot of people thought I learned a little bit of auctioneering in order to be able to sing the song, and they didn't know that I wrote the song, and I had to be an auctioneer to write the song. Actually, I was interested in auctioneering and singing, so after my junior year of college, I went to an auctioneering school and became a graduate auctioneer, finished college and all that, but I am a licensed professional auctioneer, although it only makes up a small percentage of what I do for a living.
Well, I'd say that not only did you need to be an auctioneer to write the song, you need to be an auctioneer to be actually perform that song.
Well, at least it helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would imagine. Now, you were paid a great honor as well, as I can see, is that you were inducted into the Auctioneer Hall of Fame back in 1996.
Yeah, actually, what happened, that song had such an impact on the auction business that it inspired a large number of young people to go into auctioneering, which gave a big boost to the business itself and a big boost to all of the auction schools. And it actually, I suppose you could call it the unofficial anthem of auctioneering in all the English-speaking countries of the world. And it is because of the impact of that song that they put me in the Hall of Fame.
Wow, that's terrific. Now, as I understand it, part of your business now is that you do kind of a unique show. You combine your musical talents with your auctioneering. Is that right?
Yeah, we do that on a pretty high percentage of the agricultural events, fairs and livestock expositions and that sort of thing, where they have a presence of 4-H and FFA kids. And they have a sale of champions or a sale of livestock at these fairs. And if they book me in on the same day that they're having the auction, I usually work in enough time to go over to where they're having the livestock auction and sell in just a few head from just a few on up to a couple of dozen head. And I do that on a pretty good percentage of the fairs that I play.
Wow. So now we're gonna play another song in a second, but I want to lead into this a little bit. This is a multi-million-dollar song, multi-million seller. I believe, my personal opinion, is probably you're more of a signature song, even so, than Auctioneer is one that's probably the most well-known. I know it's the most well-known for me, but it's because the distinctness of your voice in this particular song, and this song is called Walk On By. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the most important thing about it is that I almost missed it. I was looking for a song to follow up the record Big Man in a Big House, which you may or may not have heard, that I recorded in 1961, early in the year. And we came across a publishing company in Nashville, listened to a bunch of songs that I didn't much care for, and I kept saying, what else you got, what else you got, like we do. And he said, we have one more song, but I won't play it for you. And I said, why not? He said, well, it's not finished. I said, let me hear it. And he wouldn't let me hear it. But I finally almost had to arm wrestle him to get him to play the song. And he was correct. It was a bad demo on an out-of-tune piano. The voice wasn't that good, and the recording wasn't that good. And I almost, after the first line, said, no, what else you got? And then it got to the point where it said, just walk on by, pause, wait on the corner. I said, that's it, I want it. And they just flipped me, that line. So he said, it's not done yet. Well, I changed a few of the words in the verse and rearranged the chorus, and the publisher took the song home that night and wrote the second verse. So it was a combined effort of a guy named Kendall Hayes, who had the original, and a guy named Gary Walker that worked for Lowry Music, and I touched it up a little bit. So the version you hear is a combination of what all three of us did to the song. So, but I almost missed it because it wasn't done yet.
Wow. All right, well, we're going to give that a little play right now. This is Leroy Van Dyke again with Walk On By.
If I see you tomorrow on some street in town, pardon me if I don't say hello. I belong to another. It wouldn't look so good to know someone I'm not supposed to know. Just walk on by, wait on the corner. I love you, but we're strangers when we meet. Just walk on by, wait on the corner. I love you, but we're strangers when we meet. In a dimly lit corner at a place outside of town, tonight we'll try to say goodbye again. But I know it's not over. I'll call tomorrow night. I can't let you go, so why pretend? Just walk on by, wait on the corner. I love you, but we're strangers when we meet. Just walk on by, wait on the corner. I love you, but we're strangers when we meet. I love you, but we're strangers when we meet.
I love that song. I just absolutely do. Now, you were named Country Music Entertainer of the Decade in the 1960s, and you did some TV roles, and I think you had your own TV show. It's quite a time for you. You had everything going on.
It was pretty busy. We got so much free ink in the newspapers that some people thought I'd bought the newspapers. But we did get a lot of press back then. We did have a lot of things going on. It's hard to realize how we got that many things squeezed into the time schedule, but we did. Some of those years in the 60s, I was gone 300 days a year.
Good grief.
Traveling, doing television shows and movies and personal appearances, nightclubs, supper clubs, Las Vegas, all kinds of stuff.
Well, I was talking to Sam Wellington of the Four Guys a couple of weeks ago, and he was mentioning how they were on the road over 260 days, and that didn't include the time in between. He thought that was a busy schedule. So 300, you were moving.
Yeah, we were busy.
Now, you and I spoke for a moment before we came on the air about country music and traditional country music and the fact that it's not getting the airwaves these days. What's your real feelings on this? Do you see it coming back?
I think there is a little bit of a surge of interest in classic country because there are so many million people out there. The people that listen to your show and the people that come to our shows are hungry for classic country music. So I find that some of the radio stations that were playing no classic country at all are now coming back to a little bit of it each week, even though much of the time it's just all over the weekends. But we are starting to come back a little bit.
Well, I think that internet radio is playing a bit of a part in that. This show's on internet radio, and there's a lot of internet radio stations starting to play traditional country, and I believe the mainstream radio stations are starting to lose some of their listeners because this is what folks want to hear. Like you say, the shows are being sold out. I've talked to some folks that do the package shows, Jan Howard, Gene Shepherd, and they say the crowds are always there. So the need for it and the desire for it is definitely out there.
We know that to be true, and you might not have heard about it, but one of the things that we do out of our office is what's called a Country Gold Tour. That's our trademark registered for that type of show, and it's made up of people like myself that have had million-seller records, but we have not been in the charts for maybe 10, 15, 20 years. But the fan base is still there, and when we play the Florida State Fair or the Utah State Fair or South Dakota, Missouri, Iowa, Kentucky, wherever we play in a lot of the county fairs, we always have good crowds, and sometimes we'll draw crowds twice as big as some of the newer country acts that get twice as much money as we do.
I've noticed some information about your Country Gold Tour, and there's a fellow on there. I'm originally from Canada, and there's a fellow that plays in some of those shows with you that I cut my teeth on, that Ronnie Prophet and Gloria Ann.
Yeah, Ronnie and Gloria Ann are very close friends of ours.
Yeah, very great people. They were Canadian icons, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you bet. Yeah. You are. Ronnie's one of the best entertainers I've ever known.
Right. Well, he had his own TV show, and what he could do with a guitar and everything else, he was just amazing.
Yes, he was, and he still is.
That's great. Now, if folks want to get some more information on all the things you've got to offer and see where you're going to be and that sort of thing, do you have a website, or is that the best way for them to track you?
Just punch into LeroyVanDyke.com.
Oh, that's great.
Pretty simple.
Yep. Well, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. This show is called Real Country Legends, and this is the folks that we enjoy listening to and talking to and the music that I play, and I can't thank you enough for being on the show today, sir.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, and you've got our phone number. Call us anytime.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That was Leroy Van Dyke talking to me from his home in Missouri. Thank you very much, Mr. Van Dyke, for taking the time to be with us here on Real Country Legends. He also mentioned a big hit he had before he came out with Walk On By. Here it is now. This is Big Man in a Big House.
Well, when he was a kid, he dreamed about a big house on a hill. Far, far away from shantytown and poverty. He was only 16, a kid full of dreams when he ran away. He left his mom a note saying, "You'll be proud of me someday." When I'm a big man in a big house with acres and acres of ground, I'll be a big man in a big house with a big high fence all around. Big high fence all around. Well, he settled down in a great big town and he worked so hard. But the harder he'd work, the more he'd spend, it seemed. And all his newfound friends, they made fun of him and said, "Come along and we'll show you how you can fulfill all your dreams.
You'll be a big man in a big house with acres and acres of ground. You'll be a big man in a big house, a big high fence all around, a big high fence all around."
He was just 21 when a loaded gun was his downfall. Before he joined the gang, he did something he shouldn't do. Then one rainy night, the police came by and they took him in. And the judge said, "Son, there's a place for kids like you."
Now he's a big man in a big house with acres and acres of ground. Yes, he's a big man in a big house with a big high fence all around. A big high fence all around. And acres and acres of ground.
You've been listening to Real Country Legends on NBRN. Join host RB Renegade every Sunday morning for more greats from the past. Until next week, let's keep on keeping it country. Keeping it country. Keeping it country.